I was watching Marathon Man again the other day, and it struck me how many great films I could recall with the word man in the title. So here we go. I won't dwell on Marathon Man, as I featured it in a programme about war criminals a while back. Suffice to say, it's an absolute classic, and anyone who hasn't seen it should immediately watch it. Let's kick off with The Midnight Man, a cleverly scripted movie from 1974 featuring Burt Lancaster as an ex-cop who has just been released from prison for shooting his wife and her lover. He takes a job as a security guard at a co-ed school and immediately gets involved in a murder of one of the students. The police think they have their man, but Burt thinks differently. Lancaster is subdued throughout the movie, but that's okay, as there's plenty of colour provided by the other cast members. Susan Clark plays his parole officer, and Harris Yulin plays the local sheriff. Cameron Mitchell plays a former cop colleague of Burt's, and Catherine Back makes her screen debut. You may find it a bit colloquial, but I found the small town setting refreshing for a change. Lancaster directed and produced the movie, and David Grusin wrote the score.
Please don't hurt me. I know I was wrong. Darling, please don't hurt me. Come on back where you belong. You get me.
My next choice is also from 1974, called The Terminal Man, based on a novel by Michael Crichton. George Siegel plays an AI genius who suffers from mood blackouts when he becomes extremely violent. He agrees to have an operation to have electrodes inserted in his brain that can be stimulated, the theory being that his violent impulses can be controlled. This movie could have been made right now. The subject matter is so current. Crichton was taken off the screenplay writing because he veered too far away from the original novel. George Siegel plays the troubled scientist, and Mike Hodges, director of Get Carter, handles the subject matter very well. There are many genuine moments of tension throughout this film, which is credit to Hodges. If you like your sci-fi dark and subtle, this is for you. The Squaw Man from 1931 was made by Cecil B. DeMille and starred Warner Baxter. It was DeMille's third film from the source material about an Englishman who leaves the UK guilty of embezzlement and goes to America, where he marries a Native American Indian. There must have been something about it that captured his attention. Perhaps it was the interracial marriage, which was controversial at the time and still illegal in some states of America. The film was the last in DeMille's contract with MGM, and he persuaded them to finish it for a whopping budget of $750,000. It was a box office flop. He returned to Paramount, where he stayed. Mexican actress Lupe Velas plays the Native American girl, and although Mexican, does a better job than a white actress being drafted in would have done. Rain Man from 1988 has Tom Cruise finding out he has an autistic brother when his father dies, and Daddy has left this brother, played by Dustin Hoffman, all his money. He takes his brother out of the care home on a road trip, hoping he can get his hands on the money. This is a great movie and both the leads are terrific. Barry Levinson directed. It won 4 Oscars, including Best Picture, and Dustin Hoffman, plus 3 other nominations, including Hans Zimmer for the music. It was Zimmer's Hollywood debut. Tom Cruise's performance got sadly overlooked, as it is up there with Hoffman's. This is a fine film and shows what can be achieved in cinema. Interestingly, Hoffman was originally cast in Cruise's part, but wanted to switch, and thank God he did. Elephant Man was David Lynch's take on Joseph Merrick's life story, and it truly is a masterpiece. A superb cast of John Hurt, Anthony Hopkins, Anne Bancroft, John Gielgud, Wendy Hiller, and others helped Lynch bring the story of a disfigured man in Victorian London to life. The black and white photography is magnificent. Nominated for no less than 8 Oscars, but the film failed to win 1. Surprisingly enough, Mel Brooks was part of the film's production team and hired Lynch to direct the movie after seeing Eraserhead, Lynch's only other film. The Oscar award for makeup didn't exist at the time, and it was a direct result of Wally Schneiderman's remarkable work on this film that the award was created. It took him 8 hours every day to apply John Hurt's makeup, and the day's shoot was extended to get the most out of each application. John Hurt ended up shooting every second day.
Thank you.
James Whale, the director who had brought Frankenstein to the screen in 1931, made The Invisible Man, based on H.G. Wells' novel, a year later. Anyone interested in special effects should watch this. It really is superb. Claude Rains plays The Invisible Man, and it was his first speaking role on film. He was known as a stage actor primarily. Originally, Boris Karloff was to play the role, but he declined when he realised he wouldn't be seen on the screen that much. For the scenes where Rains is invisible, he was shot clothed completely in black velvet on a black velvet background. So, a primitive version of green screen. Not bad for 1933. In total, 63,000 frames of film had to be retouched by hand, so the two layers of film matched up. Incredible. On release, it was a great financial success and completed the trilogy with Dracula and Frankenstein that Universal had created. Curiously, the film did not fare well in Los Angeles upon release. Claude Rains' career was born with this film, and he is exceptional in his film debut.
Thank you.
Around the time this film was made, Jimmy Braddock was a young boxer in New Jersey, and his story was brought to the screen by Ron Howard in 2005 in Cinderella Man. Russell Crowe plays Braddock, and Renee Zellweger plays his wife, May. His manager is played by Paul Giamatti. This is a boxing film with no extra subplots, and it works a treat, perhaps because the story itself was so amazing. Braddock came back from a failed early career in the Depression era to become world heavyweight champion. He finally lost his title to Joe Louis, who described him as the most courageous man I've ever fought.
Sure, business is punk, and Wall Street is sunk. We're all of us broke and ready to croak. We've nothing to dunk, can't even get drunk, and all the while they tell us to smile. Cheer up, gentle citizens, though you have no shirt. Happy days are here again, cheer up, smile, nerds. All aboard prosperity, giggle till it hurts. No more breadline charity, cheer up, smile, nerds. Cheer up, 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 cheer. Better times are here. Sunny smilers we must be, the optimist asserts. Let's hang the fat head to a tree. Cheer up, smile, nerds. The world's in the red. We're better off dead. Depression, they say, is in session to stay. Our judges are queer, our banks disappear, and all the while they tell us to smile. Cheer up, gentle citizens, though you have no shirts. Happy days are here again, cheer up, smile, nerds. All aboard prosperity, giggle till it hurts. No more breadline charity, cheer up, smile, nerds. Cheer up, 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 cheer. Better times are here. Sunny smilers we must be, the optimist asserts. Let's hang the fat head to a tree. Cheer up, smile, nerds.
One of the most acclaimed films of all time is The Third Man from 1949, starring Joseph Cotten as a pulp novelist invited to post-war Vienna by an old friend. But when he arrives, he discovers his friend, Harry Lime, has died in a mysterious traffic accident. Orson Welles plays Harry Lime, and he has the memorable line which he ad-libbed. What did Switzerland give us? The cuckoo clock. Alida Valli and Trevor Howard also star, as does the brooding and menacing city of Vienna. The film was directed by Sir Carol Reed and was adapted by Graham Greene from his novella. Carol Reed discovered the zither player Anton Karas playing at a production party in Vienna and was fascinated by his playing. Karas ended up recording most of the soundtrack and became world famous because of the film. The famous theme became the biggest selling record of all time in the UK.
Thank you.
Inside Man from 2006 is a Spike Lee-directed heist movie in which Clive Owen, as a bank robber, enters negotiations with Denzel Washington, a policeman, and Jodie Foster, a, well, fixer would be the good description of her character. The supporting cast boasts Chiwetel Ejiofor, Christopher Plummer, and William Dafoe, and that's probably too many big names for the film's own good. It seems to draw your attention away from the plot, which is ingenious. Spike Lee does a great job behind the camera, but I was left feeling a bit underwhelmed by the experience. Interestingly enough, Ron Howard was due to direct, but turned it down to make Cinderella Man with Russell Crowe. The Running Man, made in 1987, has Arnie Schwarzenegger playing a wrongly convicted policeman in the future, given the chance of freedom by participating in a TV show where convicts are called runners and have to battle killers called stalkers, a theme that has become very popular in more recent times in The Hunger Games and Battle Royale. It's a well-made film directed by Paul Michael Glaser and also stars Yaphet Kotto and Jim Brown. Of course, had they known how close it was to the world we live in now, it probably wouldn't have been so satirical. It's based on a Stephen King story written under the name of Richard Bachman.
just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. 5 passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour, a 3-hour tour. The weather started getting rough, the tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost, the minnow would be lost. The ship's aground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle, with Gilligan, the skipper too. The millionaire and his wife, the movie star, the professor and Mary Ann, here on Gilligan's Isle.
I'd like to end with a quite recent film, Dog Man from 2018. It's an Italian film directed by Matteo Garrone, and it's quite brilliant. It follows the life of an immigrant who runs a dog grooming salon on the rundown Italian coast near Naples with his daughter. He stays out of trouble and minds his own business, but gets drawn into a vicious local crime scene in the form of Edoardo Pesce. It's based on a true story. The characters in this film are very well drawn, and Marcello Fonte has a great screen presence as the groomer. Director Matteo Garrone is known for his film Gomorrah, made in 2008. The atmosphere he conjures up in this film is immersing, and I wanted more when it finished. Well, there you have it. I hope you've discovered some films you may not be aware of in this show. All you have to do is track them down and enjoy them as I have. Until next time.
Ti ho chiamato per dirti che ti amo. Fa niente.